The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 14th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, Colin Peterson says his 10-year conferee's farm bill proposal disappoints everybody and that he thinks that gives it a shot. Brazil's top corn-producing state will allow GMOs to be planted, and John Deere has reported a 55% first-quarter net income jump. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then I'll remind you about a series of risk management and farm income meetings scheduled to start next week across the state of Illinois. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at 10.32, up 40.5 cents. May contract at 10.41, 33.5 higher. And July contract at 9.41, up 32 cents. In Minneapolis, the two nearby contracts ended the 90-cent trading limit higher for the day. March corn futures at $5.11, up 14. May at 5.22 and 3 quarters, up 13. And December contract at 5.32 and 1 quarter, up 13 cents for the day. March soybean futures at 13.68, up 39.5. The May up 38.5 at 13.85.5. And November beans at 34.5, finished at 13.05 1/2. March bean meal at 359.40, up 7.60. March bean oil at 58.16, up 190 for the day. February live cattle at 91.52.5, up 25, or up 2.5 for the day. And the April futures at 94.07.5, up a nickel on the afternoon. Lean hog futures finished the day. February contract at 58.37.5, 25 cents higher. The April futures there at 64.30, up 15 cents for the day. Outside markets now, numbers look like this for the crude oil at this time, $95.50, up 2.23. And the April futures at 95.55, up 2.14 for the day. The CRB index at 383.96 is at 7.02 higher. And the U.S. dollar at 76.124 is up, or rather down, 0.307. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now trading at 12,383 is down just about 168 points for the afternoon. Here's what the forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Mike Sola tonight. He says in the northern sections and west-central parts of Illinois, cloudy, some occasional snow showers in southwestern and east central Illinois. Mostly cloudy, a chance for some rain or snow showers this evening. That'll change to snow overnight. And elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from around zero in northwestern Illinois to 34 in southern Indiana. Friday, it'll be mostly cloudy and colder in all sections in northern and eastern Indiana. Scattered snow showers in southern Illinois. A chance for a few snow showers or showers of mixed rain and freezing rain in southern Indiana. A chance for light rain or drizzle. Highs will range from 3 in northwestern Illinois to 40 in the southeastern parts of Indiana tomorrow. The extended forecast for the two-state region looks like this. The first round of precip tonight through early tomorrow will be followed by another weather system over the weekend that will bring heavier amounts of rain and snow to the region. Many waterways will remain at or near flood stage for the next week. The winter weather system currently developing in the southwestern states will have access to ample moisture and is likely to produce heavy snow over the coming period. You're listening to WILL at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Well, I think Dan should be with us. Don't know why he wouldn't be, but maybe we just lost him. He was on a cell phone at the time, so we'll see if we can't reach him momentarily. Dan, I'm told, should be with me at this point. Dan, are you there still? No, it doesn't look like I have Dan with me at this point, so I'm just going to have to redial him and see whether we can find him or not. Zwicker should be with us. Hi, Dan. Good afternoon to you. I still don't have Dan with me this afternoon, and I have no reason why. Let's see if we can't switch him to a different pot and see if that'll help. All right. Dan, are you with me now?
Todd, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Well, I don't know why you were gone, but, well, you were, and that's just the way.
I can hear you.
Well, that's good. So anyway, you know what? We need to start out and talk about this market. Let's start with the Minneapolis Grain Exchange for the afternoon. The two nearby months were both up 90 cents. Does that mean we go to $1.20 tomorrow on that trading range?
If we were limit yesterday on 2 months, and
we were not.
I don't think we were. I think you have to have 2 days limit in two contracts back to back. So, like I said, I didn't think we closed limit yesterday in both contracts. So maybe we still stay at 90 cents. Actually, probably 90 is enough.
probably is. Did you think that will we finish this out tomorrow? Will they? I know they trade. Both those contracts traded today. Will we finish it out tomorrow? Do you think we'll finish up the limit tomorrow too?
Well, that who knows? I mean, that's a different game up there. I mean, there is no spring wheat to find up there in the actual physical commodities. And, you know, the open interest just has to come down and liquidate. And I don't know how many contracts there's yet to liquidate. But that's pretty much what it's all about. There just isn't any cash wheat, and you've got a market that has to liquidate the open interest out. So until we can get to that point where the short can get his way out of there and just take his losses, we're going to be in this limit move type situation for a while.
Turn your attention now to the corn and the soybean market. Pretty good move today to the upside. March soybeans did not take out, of course, the contract high, but they were headed that way for a while today. Can they continue in the overnight session in tomorrow?
Well, they need to. I mean, I'm away from my desk and I'm away from the charts, but my guess is even though we did not make higher highs, that these are probably the highest closes that we made versus last week's spike high that we had in the marketplace. So the market looks to be in pretty good shape, but until we actually clear those spike highs with some volume and some solid closes, we could still be somewhat in a sideways deal. But there's no doubt about it. Today's strong finishes are very impressive. in the wheat in the soybean complex as well as the wheat. Now, corn's more of a follower. We're a ways away from those spike highs that we put in here a week ago. But you got to be just a shade cautious, but I think everything still looks pretty good that we should be able to keep this market on firm footing for a couple more weeks anyway.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because when we talked to you last week on Wednesday, it looked like a spike high that potentially might turn down, and that's just exactly what you said. you wouldn't say that it was going to turn down, but that it looked like it might be. Have we really changed anything in the charts at this point for you after we moved down and then made this move back higher?
We held the support levels that we needed to hold on that break after we had that spike high on Wednesday. Friday was a little shaky, Monday and Tuesday here was a little shaky, but we held the levels that we needed to hold, and now the market resumed its upside momentum. So there was no chart damage done. The only difference that I know in the chart picture today versus of what the chart picture has been over the past several months, or actually since we started pulling out of our summer highs when this rally actually began in late July for corn and I think mid-August or so for beans, is that on these cycles, the markets went up fairly nicely for about 7 weeks, and then we would have a pause or a correction, and we would make like an 8-week low or a 9-week low, and then we would resume the upside and climb fairly calm for about 6 to 7 weeks. Now, this one here is a little different in the sense is that we're coming out of that January low, and we were only able to get a couple weeks up, and we started running into problems and some volatility. So that is the only difference is in the chart pattern, and it's definitely got my attention. But, you know, the trend lines still point up. Seasonal influences still favor the upside. Actually, they should accelerate now. So it's kind of like, you're out in a boat and you're going downstream. It's easier to go downstream than go upstream. So the markets kind of have the wind to their backside now from a seasonal nature. So you have to kind of respect all that. Now, you know, the main fundamental force in here, of course, was, we had another good day in the crude oil market. Energy values are up, so that helps commodities in a sense. There's still general worry about where all the acres are going to come from, because there's just not enough acres to expand in beans and not cut back corn significantly to meet the supply needs that we need to produce a crop. Without some kind of major run-up to maybe slowing demand. So the market, while I know we're a couple months maybe away from going out in the field, or at least a good month anyway, the market is worrying about new crop planting season already.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's all I have.
All right. Thanks much.
Uh-huh.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. In just a moment or two, Dave Dickey will be here to take a complete look at what's happening in the world of agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL. Visit our website at willag.org.
In agricultural news, talks between Senate and House agriculture leaders and Bush administration officials is continuing today on a Farm Bill conference proposal from House Agriculture Chairman Colin Peterson.
We have, in my judgment, been able to disappoint everybody in this process, and what we're hoping is we've disappointed them all equally.
Peterson's plan trims the House-approved Farm Bill by $12 billion over 10 years, including a $6.5 billion cut in the commodities title. Some lawmakers are already voicing disapproval. Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad says the plan does not identify the exact sources of the remaining $6 billion in offsets above the current baseline over 10 years. And Arkansas Senator Blanche Lincoln says the funding level is not high enough. Peterson says such criticism is not helpful.
You know, I tried to make the case for a year or two that we took a big hit in commodities and, you know, we shouldn't have to do this. That's over with. We've had that debate. It's gone long past. So these people that are bringing this stuff up are not helping the process. And I know they're not happy. But, if people want to get greedy, and want to do this kind of stuff, you know, what they're going to accomplish is make sure they don't get anything except permanent law.
USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says he's pleased with the framework of the Peterson plan, but he stressed much more needs to be done, including handling of controversial issues dealing with farm subsidies and other reforms. Brazil's top corn-producing state, Paraná, will not challenge a federal decision allowing for the first time GMO corn to be produced and sold. Brazil's National Biosafety Council voted earlier this week to allow commercialization of Bayer Crop Science's Liberty Link corn and Monsanto's YieldGuard. Under the new decision, producers must ensure that GMO crops do not cross-pollinate with traditional crops in nearby fields. A House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee took USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer to task yesterday over USDA efforts to establish an animal identification program. Connecticut Democrat Rosa DeLauro told Schaefer that USDA has failed to develop an animal ID program that could protect Americans and that USDA is pandering to the cattle industry by not implementing a mandatory system. Deere & Company reports first quarter net income was 55% higher than a year ago. Deere reported net income of $369.1 million thanks to a booming agricultural industry. Agricultural sales were up 33% at about $2.76 billion. Deere forecasts a 23% increase in second quarter equipment sales. The U.S. has appealed last year's WTO ruling against U.S. cotton subsidies. A WTO compliance panel found that the U.S. did not go far enough to remove cotton supports. And USDA says it will meet a September 30th deadline to have mandatory country of origin labeling on beef, lamb, pork, and goat meat. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, is the Director of Agricultural Programming at the WILO radio stations, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find a way to subscribe to our absolutely free weekend newsletter. It's on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe. If you don't like it, it's just as easy to hit unsubscribe. It's all at willag.org. While you're there, you can also listen to some of the agricultural programming produced by the radio station. It's right there, willag.org. Up next, the higher commodity markets go, you know, the more income there is to protect. I'll have more on a series of University of Illinois meetings scheduled for next week to help farmers manage that risk. The University of Illinois seminars kick off in Macomb on the 18th of February. Ag economist Gary Schnitke, Scott Irwin, and Daryl Good will lay out ways to protect 2008 gross revenues and risk over the course of the morning-long program.
It's basically a two-hour seminar, Todd, that we're going to take a look at kind of yield risk for Illinois producers, crop insurance decisions, and then a look at some marketing strategies that might go along with whatever crop insurance decision a producer makes. So we think crop insurance decision is extremely important this year. So this is a two-hour seminar that we will be looking at those issues starting on February 8th in Macomb, the 20th in Onarga, the 26th in Mount Vernon, 27th in Rock Falls and the 28th in Decatur.
Daryl Good and Scott Irwin will share duties talking about the commodity markets, and Irwin will cover the risk management facet of the program at each of the five sites across the state. Gary Schnittke, as one might expect, will handle the crop insurance decisions. Daryl Good says in these interesting marketing times, the seminar will surely be worth the $10 registration fee.
And folks can probably find a registration form at their local extension office, or just give us a call here at the university, 217-333-5506. A $10 registration fee, and we'll get people hooked up.
Hooked up on the 18th in Macomb, the 20th in Onarga, the 26th in Mount Vernon, the 27th in Rock Falls, and the 28th in Decatur of February. There is a $10 charge for the meeting. Those interested can sign up at the FarmDoc website. That's at farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The program starts at 8:30 a.m. and ends by 11:30 in the morning. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
On a Thursday afternoon, time to take a look at the cash grain market. Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington now joins us. Good afternoon to you, Bill. Let's start off by talking just a little bit about what happened in your area and how basis has been holding up, please.
Really, we've had kind of a pretty uneventful week here as far as basis goes. We did see some improvement in the corn basis, and it seemed like as you go over in the west and northern areas, you know, up along the river and some of the processors up in that area, you did see some improvement. I guess I'd probably attribute that maybe to some of the weather conditions that we had and the fact that farmers had trouble getting grain moved, and so did the elevators. I think it's probably more of that than anything. Otherwise, beans were just really steady to a little bit weaker in some processing markets, but steady overall, I'd say.
Are you thinking that the markets are poised to march higher again now after kind of a rough week last week?
I think that we're going to go up here and probably try some of those highs, those, you know, highs that we spiked up there, like Dan was saying earlier. If we continue to move higher, I think it's going to be tough to get this basis to come in much. This between now and the end of April is kind of the period where we ought to see some improvement in basis because of farm work picking up and some of the road postings and that.
And farmers are satisfied with what they've moved to this point, or are they waiting for a second round of $5 corn?
I think they're satisfied. The ones that we did get up over 13 today on beans, again on the cash beans, we saw some movement there. I think they're probably ready to just wait for the next round.
And your bids very quickly for the day?
485 on cash corn, 484 new crop, 1317 on beans, 1255 on new crop.
Thanks much.
Thanks.
That's Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons to take a look at the cash grain market. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the ag weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. An Illinois House Education Committee deadlocked today on whether to remove the word prayer from the title of a law requiring schools to observe a moment of silence each morning. The law's formal name is the Silent Reflection and Student Prayer Act, but supporters say that name has triggered a lawsuit. They say the moment of silence is about a brief period of peace and quiet, not prayer. Other legislators want the law changed more dramatically so that schools could choose whether or not to observe a moment of silence. Help is on the way for Illinois homeowners struggling to keep up with their mortgage payments. Four mortgage lenders have committed $200 million to a new homeowner assistance pool to help people refinance their mortgages. Governor Blagojevich's office announced the program this morning. It's an effort to ward off foreclosures for homeowners who can't afford their adjustable or fixed-rate mortgages. A University of Illinois finance professor has been nominated by the White House to serve on a top-level board that advises about the financial future of Social Security and Medicare. Professor Jeffrey Brown helped the Bush administration lobby for Social Security reform 3 years ago. If approved by the Senate, Brown would be one of two public trustees on the board, which also includes three cabinet members. The board monitors the financial status of Social Security and Medicare, but does not set policy. The Rose Holman Institute of Technology in Terre Haute says the names, Social Security numbers, and birth dates of 1,900 students were inadvertently put on a public internet page. The information was online for several months before it was discovered February 4th. Students have been notified. The College Board says about two-thirds of 2007 Illinois high school graduates who took an advanced placement exam scored well enough to earn college credit. 5 years ago, 72% made the grade. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Pete Levitt in Massachusetts. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Afternoon, Todd.
Thanks much for joining us this afternoon. Tell me a little bit about the agricultural weather here in the Midwest first, please.
Well, first of all, we're going to have quite a few changes in the weather over the next several days as we are watching a cold front come through eastern Iowa this afternoon. That'll sweep across Illinois late today and tonight, bring a turn to colder temperatures again. Temperatures will go down late at night, and there'll be some snow showers accompanying this front, and maybe a little bit more than just some light showers when you get up towards lower Lake Michigan area. However, most of the state will just see scattered snow showers with this front. It comes on by, the temperatures go down, we get pretty chilly. By morning, it'll be in the upper teens north to low 20s south, won't go up much during the day, and then tomorrow night, a real blast of cold air follows through, and we get down into the single digits down south, probably zero or maybe a little below zero up north by Saturday morning. So this is quite a shift. Then things change again. Saturday night, warmer air starts streaming northward. Cloudiness comes along with it. By Sunday, we've got precipitation coming out of a storm system out of Oklahoma and Missouri, bringing some moderate to heavy precipitation statewide on Sunday. And that precipitation will be mostly rain, southeast and central areas. Start out as mixed precipitation, change to rain, then back to snow in northern areas. Might get a pretty good accumulation before that system ends on Monday. Temperatures head south again. We go down to the low teens, maybe upper single numbers. So this is a really roller coaster weather. What does it mean for agriculture? It just maintains status quo. We've had abundant moisture for most of the region this season. And we've been looking at temperatures that are cold, but not cold enough to do any significant damage to the crop. Still a little dry in the hard winter wheat belt in parts of eastern Colorado, western Kansas. That crop did not get in well, and we think it's probably going to be a problem area in the spring unless they get good moisture and very favorable conditions.
And finally, about a minute and a half left. It looks like we have on and off, again, rainfall in South America, at least in Brazil.
Yeah, in Brazil, they've had abundant rain, really, in the northern half of the southern agricultural areas. That is the Mato Grosso, Minas Gerais, and Sao Paulo state. But as you go south, they didn't get the rain down into Paraná and Rio Grande do Sul, which are corn and soybean areas. So they need rain there, but they've had an abundance of rain farther north, maybe even too much rain. So, and we're going to see more of the same this week. I think the rain will get a little farther south in southern Brazil, so we could look for some improvement there. But they don't need any more rain in northern Brazil. In the Argentine, they had good rains in the past couple of weeks, which has kept things in very good shape. Temperatures are warm but not hot, and crops there should be faring pretty well.
Pete, we appreciate being with us for the day.
My pleasure.
Peter Levitt joins us each and every Wednesday, rather Thursday afternoon, to take a look at the agricultural markets, and that is this edition of the Closing Mark Report for Thursday. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.